Father, we bless you for your mighty presence in our midst, for the Shekinah glory, for your manifestation within us, in our midst, and even through us. Lord, we thank you because we can see all around is darkness and death. But Lord, we are seeing your glory, we are seeing your light arising upon us, upon your people. Lord, we thank you for the prophetic voice, for the prophetic spirit. For you say it is the testimony of Jesus. So Lord, we receive that testimony today. The testimony of your spirit. The testimony of your vengeance against every other altar. Over against every other idol. Even the altars of stone. Even these images. Even this abomination that is causing a desolation.
Yes.
Lord, even this image of jealousy at the entering. Even not just at the entry, but within the houses, within our house, within our minds, within our emotions and desires and will. Lord, we come to you, O God. Hallelujah. We bring the loins of our mind. We bring the loins of our sexuality. We bring the loins of family. We bring, Lord, the inward parts.
Oh my God.
We ask you, Lord, to wash it.
Mm-hmm.
Let your word wash it. Let there be a cleansing by the water.
Right.
By the washing of the water by the word. All yes. Lord, by the unction and the anointing and purification of the spirit. Lord, we thank you for your entrance. Lord, we say, Lord, we will not strive with you. We will not resist. Hallelujah. We come to receive grace to submit. We ask, Lord, that your trumpet will sound and let the dead be raised incorruptible. Lord, let the dead in Christ, let the regions of darkness and of deadness within us, may they awaken, may they arise in God. For he said in that day that them that hear the voice of the Son of Man, that you will raise from the graves. We ask, Lord, that you will break the losing us from the grave conditions.
Yes.
From these conditions of bondage, you might losing us. Blessed be your name, Lord.
Amen.
Oh yes, let the entrance of your word be judgment. Let it be a fiery judgment.
Hallelujah.
Let it break down and destroy and tear down.
Amen.
That I might release a people unto you, O God. If I form a people unto you, O God, a holy nation, a lively nation, O God, a holy habitation of God in the spirit. Blessed be your name. in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
As I sat down, you know, I'm just asking the Lord, what, where do we go and what do we do today? I could see a direction. And then when Brother Mike began to speak, it was like a confirmation as to what the Lord will have for us. As you know, we just have a limited time. By about half quarter, about half past three, Brother Mike has to go and other things. So before you came, we were just talking about it, that we'll just have one straight meeting. And so we'll see how the Lord will lead us. But it's clear that something has started, which we may not be able to fully address in this session. So it appears the Lord giving us another appointment to come back to Calgary. So the Lord will see to it. Amen. So the Lord will see to it. He will set the stage. He will make the create the condition. He will give us the ability, and He will anoint us and grant us strength. Amen. To come. Amen. I have an unction to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm sure everyone could feel that I didn't even know how the meeting will go yesterday. I usually don't know how the meetings will go. I just stand up and then I know the Lord is going somewhere, so He leads us. So I could feel the way the Spirit of God was going yesterday. I'm sure within yourself you could see the breakthrough that came. So that's of the Lord. So today I see the Lord going the same direction. So we're going to deal with the we'll go back to the labor. We will touch on it again, and then we can launch forward. We will go up to the ark. Hopefully we should be able to touch it, but the burden of it is going to be from the labor. We're going to go from there, because that is where I am. I'm sure many of you, if not all of us, are there. We are at the labor, and we're struggling to break forth. And that is where the church is now. There's a big push to pull us and to take us to the outer court, to make us to be rooted in the outer court. But the Lord is moving, and the Lord is working to move us out of the outer court into the holy place. The holy place is where we should be. That is the place of preparation. When we get to the holy place, we'll be home and dry, I can assure you. So that is the dynamics that I see. In the prophecy that the brother began to bring, when the Lord began to speak about images, that is something that the Lord has been showing me about images. In Israel, they had images, and the images had to do with worship. They had to do with worship. It depends on how you want to do it, because the scriptures it addresses it in different segments. When the children of Israel came into the wilderness, there were a people that were dwelling in the wilderness, and they were coming from Egypt. In Egypt they also had a representation and a manifestation of the same images and sorcery. So they were coming from a situation and they were coming into another situation, and in both circumstances you had these situations of idolatry. When you see those kind of situations, you're looking at depths, you're looking at grades and situations. And if you look at this picture, right now we're like 7 billion people.
Yeah.
Now, what, as far as God is concerned, That those are 7 billion souls. And within each of those individuals, you see, the principle of darkness is allowed of God to be manifested and worked out. For instance, if someone says, I think that a life of cheating and lying is the way I want to go, then fine, God is going to give it to you. So God will show you individuals who believed in that concept, and He will show you the end of it. You see, and that is the benefit of looking at the Old Testament. You know, so it's, apart from the fact of history, but it tells you the beginning and end of a principle. All right, Absalom was an example, is the principle of rebellion. Rebellion against God's authority. All right? He felt he had this, he had the authority, he was so and so. God said, fine, so let's see where it will run. Okay, and you see Absalom, he came to authority, he came to power, he had absolute control. But what happened? God judged. So what God is saying, rebellion must be judged. You know, rebellion might look as though it's succeeding. You know, you look at what's happening in the world now. They're having this is the greatest time of their lives. All right? But those who are spiritual know that it cannot last, because rebellion must be judged. There's no, I don't care where it is. Absalom was God's, David's son, and he loved him. He even looked out for him. He said, oh my God, have mercy on that little young man, Absalom. All right? But there was no emotion with God. That man has submitted to the spirit of rebellion, and he says, let my enemies be like
enemies of the king.
No, be enemies of the king. Be like that young man, Absalom.
That's right.
You know, so that's how it is with God. So there was no emotion. If I submit to rebellion, it is very clear what is going to happen. You know, so those are the kind of settings you see. So to that extent, the Old Testament is very deep. You might look at it and you think it's just story. It's beyond story. There is a very strong prophetic speaking, you know, that you can see there. So looking at images, because we can hear the prophetic word. The Lord is speaking about images. As they came into the promised land, they had the Amorites. The Amorites were there. And the Amorites are mountain dwellers. And you say they are the remnant of the giants. All right? So, in other words, you're looking at something that is intimidating. It intimidates you. So, for someone who's walking in the flesh, and when you say walking in the flesh, what do you see? That's the majority in the church, isn't it? Also, 10 out of 2. I mean, 10 out of 2 shows the majority carries the fruit. What is the fruit of the majority? Our God is a God of grasshoppers. So, if you go out in the church, if you even within the end time circle, the burden of the prophetic of the word that's coming is a popular report. We are not able to overcome. So you find that you are hearing a word that is making an allowance for the world. They say we cannot overcome the world. We cannot train our children well. I cannot overcome. The onslaught on the family, we don't have any answer for it. We cannot be godly. We cannot. So that's the kind of thing. And you see worldliness within even the Holy Place Church. Now, if you looking at it on the surface, you may not be able to understand. If you're emotional, you even have a problem, because your friends may be carrying that kind of burden. Yeah, the people that you are being with, that way, even people in your fellowship may be going that way. But when you look in deeply, now you can see what the Lord is saying, that there is a popular majority in the church. And the verdict and the burden and direction of that popularity is what? Our God is a God of grasshoppers. He cannot enable us to overcome. Alright, that is so the jury is out. That's what the majority of the church is saying. We cannot overcome. So the church has lost its voice. You know, so they've turned back. And where are they going? They're going back to the world. You are going back to Egypt. All right. There's a compromise in the church. Okay. Now, there are two people, Joshua and Caleb. They say they had another spirit. And they say our God is able to take us through. Now, and it's very clear. If God is going to take you through, what has God said to you? You must destroy their images. You must destroy their idols. You must strongholds. You can their altars. You burn it, grind it to powder, destroy their pictures. Make no marriages with them. They will not marry your wife, their children. Their children will not marry them. You will not have any dealing with them. It is complete shutdown.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So that is the message that is coming forth. And then, of course, we are looking at it and it's like you look at it personally, you say this is a great cost. It's coming at a great cost. It's not going to be a tea party. You know, if I'm going to follow, hear what the Lord is saying and go with it, it is going to cost me something. You know, so each and every one of us, we are being challenged. You know, it's like, what is your report? Choose you this day. Where are you going to go? Are you going to go with the popular Christianity, or are we going to go with the true church, the true, true word of the Lord? So that was what was facing them, and eventually those who said they couldn't go forward, they began to go around the circles, and within 40 years, that generation was gone. Okay. In other words, God gives me a choice. I was telling them in London, I said, there are three choices. Either I reject the word, or I accept the word, or a third option. I didn't tell them the third option, but I would have told you the third option. The third option is, those who reject will wander around the wilderness, and God brings a new generation out. That's the third option. God is going to bring a new generation out of these ashes of what's happening in the church. There's going to be a people that will come, and those ones will enter. You know, so if I accept, then I have an option to be part of that. You know, But if we don't accept it, then we'll find out we'll just wander around, go around the wilderness, and that generation will just die off. So within the wilderness, they had these Amorites, the giants, and not just the giants, they also had the Canaanites. The Canaanites dwelt in the sea, in the lowlands. And the Canaanites were known for something. They were known for their worship of Ashtoreth. Okay? In some places they call it Ashtaroth. Alright, in some places they call it Asherah. Now, Asherah is taken from the word Asher, which means to be happy, pleasure. Alright, that's from where. And the children of Asher, the territory they were given in Israel was the territory very close to the Phoenicians and the Zidonians. Alright? Now, if you look at Judges, the Zidonians and the Phoenicians, they had something common. Joshua, in fact, when Joshua found him, they said they went there and found that they dwelt in cities that didn't have walls, they didn't have any judge over them, and they dwelt carelessly and freely. There was nobody to ask them, tell them, or to say, "Why? What are you doing?" There was no judge among them. So every man did that which was right and seemly in their eyes. That sounds to me like Canada and America and Nigeria. You see, so now this is where they were dwelling. Alright? So it was very clear what happened. You know, that they began to be overrun by the images. They had the Midianites. And the Midianites had a god called Baal Peor. I hope I'm pronouncing it well. Yeah. Yeah. So it means the Lord of the opening. Sexuality was their god. Alright? And they began to put that before the children of Israel. So it was a stumbling block for the children of Israel. Now, the Canaanites, they because of their closeness to the sea, they, of course, again, they had the thing about sexuality. All right. And that was, you know, and of course, the Ashtaroth, the worship of Ashtaroth was a worship of pleasure. So they had high places. The Hebrew word is Bama. In these high places, they had sodomites. All right. And they also had temple prostitutes within the high places. So apart from that, they also had the idolatry, you know, the idols. They had the worship of they would throw the children in the fire, and all those things. There were things that, you know, that were happening, and God told them, "Do not get involved." All right. Now, if you look at the history, with time they began to mingle. Yeah, their consecration began to be eroded. And before you know, you see Solomon. By the time you go to Solomon, the Bible says that Solomon loved many outlandish women. Strange women. And this he clave to in love. Now, it didn't stop there. He built high places for them. But it didn't stop there. The Bible says that there was a particular place, they call it the Mount of Corruption. This was the place where all his wives, that was the place where they had different altars and idols, you know. And one of those people was from the tribe of Zidon, all right. And one of those women, her father was the chief priest of Zidon. Guess the name of the woman, Jezebel, came out of that move. Her father was the high priest of Zidon. So by down the line, by the time Ahab came on the scene, that same thing continued. So you can see that thing running. And it eventually had to bring Elijah to the scene. Elijah was still dealing with that same situation. So he began to run. That principle of idolatry began to run. You know. So the thing is that this is what we are dealing with. It's something very, very, very deep, you know, that you find in the church. Now this is the historical part. Now, there is the other situation of, again, the idolatry, that you're looking at Moab and Ammon. Now, Moab and Ammon, that one is very deep, because those are children of sexual violence.
Incest.
And not just that, but this one was incest. Okay? The daughters with their father. So, Moab means son of the father. The Ammon means of the same flesh. So that is flesh upon flesh. So you are looking at going towards 66. Okay, so you know what? You are looking at the strength of sin being multiplied. And that is Moab. And you always see that the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Midianites, and Philistines will always gang up together. Alright? Now, Philistia means the flesh. Okay, that's what Philistia means. It means the flesh. Carnal people. And they were always enemies to the people of God. In other words, they are working to erode our consecration.
Yes.
So, if you want to move forward in God, the Midianites will come and attack them from the back. You don't know what happened? When they were moving, the portion of the children of Israel that were in the hinder part, those who were late in dismantling and moving forward with God, those are the ones that the Midianites will attack and cut off. So if God is saying move forward and you do not move forward at that time, you stand the risk of the flesh.
Yeah.
Alright? Coming ahead. And now when they got into the wilderness, into the promised land, and as they were going with Moses, now they came to Moab. And they came to Edom. Edom again means the flesh, because you know Edom speaks of it's Esau and it's uh-huh. Now guess what God told them in Deuteronomy 2? He says, "Do not meddle with the Edom or with Moab or with Ammon. Why? I have not given it to you for an inheritance." Now, what is he saying? There's nothing in the world that God has given us to inherit.
Yes.
So my inheritance is not in this world. Not of this world.
Right.
Alright? So even if I love the things in the world, God has not given it to me. I cannot spend all my life for the world, because that is not my inheritance. You know, so the scripture says we are in the world, but not of the world. So we can use technology. Today we are on Skype. Brother Bot is in Ethiopia. Someone else is in Skyline. Someone is in New York. I'm in Calgary. Different time zones. The other one is 8 hours, 3 hours. But you know, it gives us the platform. We can all talk and discuss and pray, discuss things. She's here every night. We have fellowship. We call her and we talk, we share fellowship. The ones in Nigeria. So wherever I am, I can get my family on Skype and we can have devotion. All right. So that is what using the things in the world. So the technology, we can use it. But you see, the point is that we are still not very sharp in the spirit, where the technology does not use us. The technology does not suck us in, you know. So I think that part of the strength that God is giving to us is that we have to come clean with our emotions. There's no way I can tell you that I do not like the world. There's so much in the world to like, you know, and there's so much in the world to be sympathetic with. But God is saying, I have not given the world to you as your inheritance. Now, scripture says, no man that worries entangleth himself with the affairs of this world. Yeah. Alright? So, you know, because as a soldier, I must acquit myself. So, if I know I'm a soldier, then it means that as I'm going into the world, then I must be circumspect. I must be careful how I deal with the world, because I know I am in an enemy and dangerous territory. So it's not saying, like some people have done, you shut down, go to the forest, and you don't have contact with the world. That is going to bring a challenge, you know. So he says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but I pray that while they are in the world, what do you do? You will keep them through the evil. So that is the challenge that we have, that we have to learn how to be in the world and not be contaminated, you know. And one of the things I see of how not to be contaminated is the principle of the eunuchs. You know, the principle of the eunuchs. The eunuchs were servants of the king, and they ministered to his wife and to him. And so there was no way they could get contaminated by what was happening, because they had lost, you know, that ability. All right, and the Bible says that the angels do not marry, okay, or have need of marriage, okay, because, and he said that we in the resurrection, we shall be like the angels. So what is he saying? So I think he's saying something about our emotions, you know. He says something about our emotions. He says something about our desires, and I think that is the that is the strength, praise God, that is the strength, okay, of our, of what we have to deal with. Now we know that within the soul of man, within me, that I have a weak spot. I have some weak spots.
Yes.
And that, you know, so if I really want to overcome, then I must deal with the weak spots.
Yes.
And now, what are the weak spots? The emotion and the desires. And of course, those two, it's what you call affections or passions. And that is the strength of the devil. Okay? And he makes the emotion and the passion so strong, particularly in the area of sexuality, particularly in the area of pleasure. All right, and that's where he gets every one of us. You know, an example is David. You know, the devil could not get David anywhere else, but in the matter of Uriah and Bathsheba. You know. And I said David was a man after God's heart.
Yes.
Okay. So we as a people, we have to look at it and say, how do we deal with it? How do we work to deal with it? Now, the other reason, the other point I wanted to raise is the issue of the images. Now, the images they had in this land, there were various forms. And that should also tell us, brethren, the strategy of the devil. The devil will always come from different fronts. It's the same thing, but he comes from different points. Alright? So they had the pole. The pole is what they call the Asherah. The pole. They had the pole. The pole. Yes. Asherah. Now, the same pole is what you call the obelisk.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, and that pole represents the male sexual organ. That's actually what it is. Okay, so when they worship it, they're involved in idolatrous worship of pleasure. All right, now and the devil knows that is a strength, because man loves pleasure, so he knows it's a weak point. You know, so how do you deal with it? So God says, cut it down. Alright? But you see, the thing is that some of these images, some of them are cast in stone. They are wood, some were wooden pillars, but some were made of stone. Now, how do you cast down something made of stone? So it means you need force. Alright? But there was somebody that addressed it. His name is Josiah. Josiah was one that addressed it. All right. Now, and the thing was that at the time of Josiah, something happened. His father, Manasseh. No, sorry, his grandfather, Manasseh. Okay. The Bible said that he had built altars in the two courts of the Lord. So even within the holy place and the most holy place, the man they call Manasseh went there and he built altars for Baal in the holy place and in the most holy place.
Yeah.
Of course, you can shake your head, but you and me, we're also Manasseh.
Yeah.
Because we have also built altars in our mind, in the loins of our mind, in our emotions. There are altars.
Yeah.
Already that are there. And some of those altars are made of stone.
Yes.
You know, what do you mean by stone? That means we have sequentially and gradually maximized it. That is, we have continuously submitted to the Spirit. Either in a habit or in an attitude. Okay. So these things over time have maximized. So if you want to deal with it, it's not a question of one meeting. Okay. Or one fasting. Or you read one scripture and you pray and you say, "Oh, I've dealt with it." No. You'll only deal with the ones that are of wood, the ones that are consequential. But there are some of them, either by ancestry, that we have got it from our parents and grandparents, and this ancestry is over time. Alright? Particularly the ones that go within the tribal spirits, the family spirits. Alright? And then the individual propensities too that have brought forth these idolatries are also there. And that one are the things that for over time, as we have grown in our habits, these spirits have gained a foothold. They have gained a stronghold within us. So God says you must come out from your country.
Yes.
You must come out from your tribe. You must come out from what? Your family. Okay? And in your own self also. Because Jesus said you must hate your own self also. So those are the levels. So these are the spirits that have maximized within us. God says Josiah. He sent Josiah. Say, there will come a man. The prophet went and says, oh, altar, altar. Say, what is the sign? This is the sign. Oh, altar. You know, it was a prophetic word. Not just to that altar of Jeroboam, but to the altars in our hearts. And so on. It was the prophet said, oh, altar, altar, know that there will be a son. And his name will be called Josiah. Josiah is a type of Christ. You understand? Josiah is a type of Christ. So there will come a son called Josiah. And when he comes, he will destroy all the altars. So he will grind it to powder. So when this guy came, we don't have time to read, but if you find time to look at the first King, 2 Kings 21:22-23, and then 2 Chronicles 31:2-4, you will see the history of. So the Bible says he stood up and he continuously began to break down and cut down the idolatries, you know. And by the time he came, the word of the Lord was lost. They were not even reading the scriptures. Idolatry was everywhere. Worldliness was everywhere. That's where we are. They had abandoned the feast of the Lord. They had abandoned the altar. The doors were broken down. Everything was in complete disrepair. In fact, the Sodomites were dwelling by the temple. The women who said they were weaving cloth for the temple of Asherah, they were also dwelling. The home place was overrun by sexuality. But when this man came, he told them, he commissioned them. He said, go. Let the people bring silver. They brought silver. Say they weighed it. And as they began to repair, they found the book of the Lord.
Yes.
They took it to him. And you know what he did? He said that when he read it, he called the people, said that great is the anger of the Lord, the wrath of the Lord against us as a people.
Yes.
So he said he called the children, he called the men, he called the priests, everybody came together and they began to read the word and they began to weep.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right? And the Bible said that for that first time they kept the Passover.
Yeah. Yes.
And he said there was not such a Passover kept in the whole. You know, so what is this saying? God began to restore. Alright? There was something that was being restored. And brother, I'm telling you, God is restoring something.
Amen.
Okay, it may not be there everywhere because the popular theology is saying, forget it. We cannot overcome. Let's join the world. But there is a group of people. And I believe that you and I have that opportunity to be part of that move.
Yeah.
Where God is restoring the feast of the Lord. Passover. And if you notice, if you read down the line, they also kept the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? So the Bible says three times in the year. Okay? Passover, Pentecost, you know. So there was something that began to move, you know, within them. And you see, and to show you the genuineness, he didn't stop there. The Bible says he now began to go one after the other. He didn't just stop in Jerusalem. He went even to the city. He even went to Samaria. You understand? He went beyond even his territory and began in those places. He went to Bethel, where Jeroboam had his temple. He went to Bethel and judged it. You know? He went, sacked all the temple, all the people. In fact, do you know what he did? He called a feast to all the priests of Baal. Say, Jeroboam. No. Yeah, Josiah did it. So he said, Jeroboam served Jehu. Yeah, he served Baal little. I myself will serve Baal. Wonderful. It's there. Okay, let's.
Jehu
slew. Josiah also did the same. Okay. It's okay. Let's look at it. Second Kings. There are two instances. Jehu did, and Josiah also did. Let's look at it. Look at, if you read read the 2 Kings 23.
Verse 5, he put down the idol of his priest.
after this. Yeah, I've seen that one. Okay, it doesn't say.
The second Kings, Jehu's story is in 2 Kings chapter 10.
Is it Kings or Chronicles?
The Jehu's
own.
Yeah, it's in 2 Kings, Kings chapter 10.
Okay. Okay, I thought.
If you can look at 2 Kings 23 from 19.
Yes.
He says, and all the houses also of the high places that were in the city of Samaria, which the king of Israel had made. He broke the law to anger. Israel took away each of them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel.
Okay.
And he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altar and all men bones upon them even come to Jerusalem.
Okay, yeah, that's it. And even in verse 24. Yeah. Verse 24 to 25 too.
Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the gods and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were despised in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away. He might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like all those who were there are no other king before him that turns to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah because of all the provocation that Manasseh had provoked him with her. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and cast off this Jerusalem which I have chosen.
Okay.
Which I said, my house shall.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes. I think that she's right. The situation where he called the priest. I think it was Jehu that did that.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. So for him, it was the same spirit anyway.
Yeah, it's the same spirit.
You know. So he brought them and began to destroy these images. So the point is that for us also, we have these images that are within. So the thing is, we want to move forward. All right. But within us are these images, are these principles, are these situations. And God is saying we have to destroy them, we have to cut them, you know. So I think with that in mind, we can go forward to First Corinthians 2, Romans 8, and then Galatians 5. So those are the three scriptures we'll be looking at hand to hand. Romans 8, Galatians 5. If we have time, we can go on to Ephesians. That's a little bit on a different level. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 2. First Corinthians 2. So we have our principle. So this is the Father. Now we dealt with this yesterday, but I just feel the unction of the Lord to go over this again today, because it's a practical thing. We have to bring it to a point where It's okay. We have to bring it to a point where it is clear in our hearts. You know, it's like we have a working principle. You know, so it's good to go over it and over and, you know, and let it be clear. Because for me, it's like in chemistry we say it's a rate determining step. That is, it is a place, you know, that you come to, you are doing a reaction, you know, an experiment. There are some reactions where if you get to that point, everything starts moving very fast. So I feel that if we're able to break through at this point, you know, we will have a strength to be able to move forward. So we'll still deal with what is ahead, but we need to go a little bit deeper, and then we'll be able to get the strength of it. And as I was saying, you're looking at Moab, you're talking about the depth of the flesh. Okay, say so Moab has been at ease from his youth. You say his taste is still in his remaining in him. So how will you deal with it? God said, I will send to him tilters that will empty him from vessel to vessel. All right. Now, and the purpose of that is that his taste will be changed. And, you know, he said that he will stir the dregs. He will stir him up. And, you know, so God has to do something to shake us from our complacency, you know. Amen. So Moab is a people at ease, you know, he's very proud, you know. So Moab is very proud. He has not been to come. Has not been vessel. So he's speaking of the flesh. And brethren, that is the depth in us. So it's going to be a deception for me to say, no, because I'm so and so, then you know, I don't have those things. And that's really where we have been. So we find that when we gather together, we don't dig enough. So the flesh has been at ease, you know, and we have not been able to, you know, to address the foundational things. So that's Moab. And with it goes with the principle of Ammon, the principle of the Canaanites, the principle of the Amorites. And these people are they are dwelling in our land. In fact, some of those spirits, the Gagashites, they would dig into the ground and dwell inside the ground. You understand? Some dig, go to the mountain and dwell in the mountain. So these are different dimensions of spirit. And God says, begin to contend with them in battle. All right? So that means, as an individual, I must make a consecration. I say, God, I must overcome. I'm going to overcome. And now, the thing is, in warfare, I cannot overcome everything at the same time. You know, so if you choose, even if, when you go to battle, you don't fight on all the fronts. You pick your battles, you know. And the places, of course, you pick are the strongholds. All right. And one of the major strongholds is what? Is the passions. Is the emotions. And the desires. Okay. Because that is where, that is the strength, that is the energy the soul is getting. So the soul is feeding from a negative energy, feeding on the flesh. So it is adding flesh to flesh. So it is strengthening. The spirits in me want me to walk in darkness. When I walk in darkness, I get strength to them. Alright? And the principle of that is that it's the principle of priesthood. Every priest must be clothed for ministry. So, you know, even after he had built the tabernacle and everything, he said, bring Aaron and his sons. And what do you say? You will sanctify them. And then you will consecrate them. And then you will put upon them the garments of priesthood. Say, for beauty and for glory. So, yeah, I mean, so you don't just wake up and, you know, it's like Obama. Obama doesn't just, he's elected, but he must be sworn in. Yes. So from the moment he is sworn in, he is no longer Obama. He is the President of the United States. His law is what? His word is what? Law. In fact, he doesn't even speak to you. He has a spokesperson. Do you see the president? Does he come and... He only speaks when it becomes necessary. So his spokesperson, whatever the man says, it is Obama that is speaking. And it is law. It's recorded. You know? In fact, when he leaves office, the things he said will not be released until after 20 years. That's when those things become declassified. You know, so it's to give us the strength of the consecration. You know, so we also, as the eternal priesthood, right from the beginning, the devil dressed us up for ministry. What did he do? He dressed us up with darkness. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you are born with darkness, and you begin to function in darkness.
Yeah.
All right. So if I'm going to stop to be a priest functioning in darkness, I must begin to put off darkness from within my soul. So as I put on darkness, then light, I'm also putting on light. So I find out that I am separated from one, and then I'm being consecrated onto another one. All right. So it is this inward darkness, this inward clothing, that I think we should look at, because you see, we will be addressing it at the level where the problem is. The problem is in the realms of the soul. You know, so you have the Father. You have the Son, and then you have the Holy Ghost here. Okay? So I'm going to draw a bigger circle. So that is a circle for the soul. And then we will use green to represent the various natures. So this will be...
You want to put man's spirit in there between Holy Ghost and soul?
Oh, I missed it. Well, even though this is correct, but in actual fact, the spirit, so why don't we do it correctly? The spirit is within the soul. We can say the will within the will. Okay, so of course the spirit of the living creatures was in the will. Okay, so let's draw it correctly. So this will be the man's spirit. Spirit. Even though we know this also brings a covering over it. So, and then we can now draw the body. Okay. Well, we just made the mistake. We are just trying to justify our mistake. Okay. This will be the emotion. Okay, and that is a lion. And then this is the desire here. Okay, and then that is the face of the man. Okay, and then this is the wheel. Okay, that is the ox, and then this is the mind, and then that is the ego. Okay, and then for the body, we already know that there are we have these senses of taste, of hearing, of sight. Okay, what was the other one? Smell,
touch,
and then feeling or touch. But man is a six-dimensional man. So there must be another entrance into the soul. Okay. And that is then the entrance of the mind. Okay, so the mind. So this is where we are going to zero in on. So the mind. Now the soul has two natures. The soul has what they call a lower capacity, a lower physical capacity, all right, or a higher spiritual capacity. That's because it is spirit and body. That's this physical aspect. And if you look at your mind, your mind is able to relate with everything around you. Okay, so I know the things around me. I can study science, I can study agriculture, I know the things around me. Mm-hmm. But you see, the devil will have us believe that that is all that there is. And in the past, we have, all of us in this room, we have functioned as though that is all that there is. Mm-hmm. That is, my mind is in relation to everything around me. I know science, I know book, you know, your profession, you read and you study. So that is knowledge. But you see, that is just one aspect of the knowledge. All right, so I'm using a lower, they call this lower mental capacity. All right, so the mind has two capacities, has a lower dimension and has a higher dimension.
Yeah.
Because the mind was made up of the spirit and the flesh. All right, so now what the devil has done is that he has made you and made me to be a carnal person. So even when I'm relating to God, I'm relating with God with my mind. That is what I can see. Okay? So if I see the car, then I believe God can give it to me. Okay? If I go to my account and there's money in my account, then I know God can provide for me. Alright, so we work on this. So it's a hard evidence. Alright? So if the money is not there, God is saying, go and buy the house. I'm not very sure what you're saying, because I'm looking at my economy cannot carry what you're saying. So you have a problem there, because you can't see it in your account. Okay, but you see, and so that is a limitation the devil has placed upon us, because we walk based on the evidence that our mind, our environment, okay, you know. But you see, that is not true. Because so while you are doing that, he is very comfortable functioning and manipulating you and me at the realm of at the level of the mind. So he's manipulating the mind, and we are not challenging the devil.
Yes.
All right? And you see, for instance, if you see an image, all right? That image is not able to go out from you. Alright? So it's no longer physical. It's spiritual.
Yes.
So he's fighting you spiritually, but you are responding to him naturally. So it's unequal, and we can never win that war. We cannot win that war. So one of the ways is that we have to change our tactics. So we must fight the devil at the realm where he's fighting us. And we can beat him there. Alright? So, and that is why we're looking at all these openings. The thing is that, you know, we're looking at, this is the body. But the body is also at the level of the soul. Alright? And for instance, they are cooking something there now, right? Okay? Now, I'm perceiving it with my nose, isn't it also? But my mind is responding to it. My emotions are responding to it. My desires are responding to it. I'm feeling happy. I'm anticipating that in 2 hours' time, there will be action. So what is the connection between smell and my emotion? All right? I want to fast. All right? And I drive past McDonald's, Tim Horton. You know what will happen. The fast is over. That is, you are fasting and you go to pass Tim Horton, and you just perceive the aroma of fresh hot bread. If your consecration is not strong, that fast is over. You know, sometimes I say, okay, I'm fasting, and I go to a meeting. All right. And I go to the meeting and I didn't prepare myself. I just go ordinarily. And before long, by 2 o'clock, they are serving refreshment. Do you know what happens? A battle starts to happen, you know, something is happening in my tummy. I start hearing noises in my tummy. And do you know what happens? Most times I call off my fast and I take the refreshment. Okay, it doesn't happen to you guys. It happens to me. It's normal. Do you know why? Because I have not trained myself to be able to fight at that level. Alright? And because of that, I mean, we're just looking at there are other such situations that happen. So we see that our warfare is carnal. Mm-hmm. And the Bible said that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of this stronghold, these images, these things. We can pull them down. But if we are going to put them down, we must change our strategy.
Right.
So I must know that, look, there are so many openings. Now, those openings are blessings, actually. They are channels through which God can, the life of God can flow into the world. You see, what, you see, darkness is coming in now. The devil comes in through the flesh. That is his stronghold. He cannot come through the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened is that in our spirit, because our spirit is still, you know, the presence of the Lord, we're not fully aware of what is going on. So we are not getting much help from the Spirit. And because we are not getting much help from the Spirit, majority of what's happening is the flesh that is influencing us. Alright? So part of what we are trying to do is to see how it is and see how we can begin to get more energy, more life, more strength from the realm of the Spirit. Now, if we're able to receive help from the Spirit, even if Goliath comes, we can cut off his head. David came against Goliath. He said that, today you come against me with your sword and so on. I come against you in the name of the Lord. You understand? So he had just a little stone. This guy came with 40 years of experience, isn't it? This guy has been the wilderness. He didn't have anything. But he knew the way of the Spirit. So, and by the Spirit, he was able to slay the giant. So, those things that look like giants and so on, we can overcome them. We can. You know, so we need to see and understand that we can actually do these things. You know.
The same senses can open to God.
Exactly. Because these senses are also in the mind.
Yeah.
That's the point I'm trying to, that's the point I'm saying. Because within the mind is taste. Taste means is discerning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, partaking. That's what, you know. The same taste of smell, of course, is there to discern the things of God. What's the other one? It's sight, of course. There is the eyes of the understanding.
Yes.
Okay? It's within. You know, Paul was saying that the eyes of understanding might be enlightened, might be opened. But these eyes of understanding have been covered. They're in darkness. The only thing that can open it is the entrance of the light. The ministry of the word. And that's why the devil will always corrupt the word. The true ministry, he will corrupt the word. That if he corrupts the word you are hearing will not bring light into your soul. So, you remain the same. You are hearing, in fact, it's even bringing more darkness to you. You are hearing the ministry, but the word is corrupted. So, there is no change within you.
Right.
You know? So that is why we must, you know, pray for.
Absolutely.
And seek and ensure that we have the uncorrupted word of God.
Yeah.
That is coming. Because the entrance of the word itself is deliverance.
Right.
The entrance of the word bringeth light. So you don't need to pray, let the word that is coming to me be light. No. As you are hearing the word, you are receiving deliverance.
Hallelujah.
You understand? So that's why we must come to the word. Now, the devil will fight you
right.
to have the word.
Yes.
He will make you busy. He will make you feel tired. He will make your mind, you know, you will hear news. You will go and take care of the kids. You have to do this. Look at today. We are supposed to start by 10. When did you start?
Tomorrow. We won't start until tomorrow.
Okay. So that is classical devil activity. I was telling my wife that we missed it because that means we didn't take preemptive action. To pray, to do this. But you see, that's classical. That's the devil for you. You are equipped, but he just distracts you. He would just one little thing. The other day, yesterday, he forgot to change Chester Man to Cadbury. Simple, that's all. And you know what? We were just going around and around the place.
Oh,
yes. Oh, yeah. That's just classical devil activity. All right? And when we changed it, we came out of a place and we started going. So that's an example of spiritual warfare. The devil will, you wake up in the morning, somebody will just hit your garage or something, just destabilize you. So if we are not primed for war, for that kind of eventuality, then you start reacting, you start complaining, you start doing this. And immediately you get into that mode, the devil has you. He just knocks you off. And before you know, the whole day is gone. You know? So the thing is, so how can we You know, and the only thing is to, he said that he that warreth does not entangle. You know, so we have to say, equip yourself. You know, say be strong. You know, as a strong, as a soldier, to suffer hardness as a soldier of Christ. Okay, so we are back to this place. So we are saying all these senses plus the sixth sense, which is the mind. The mind is a nature, is a sense. It is a nature that is sensory. That is, God made it to be able to receive, analyze, comprehend, and respond to the world around it. That is the, you know. So in that, the mind has four natures. I thought it was three. Now God has shown me another one. I don't know if I will see another one tomorrow, but for now I can see four clear natures in the mind. So let me flip over, so because we understand this. Okay, this is clear, so we can go a little bit higher. Let's look at the mind. No, don't remove it, because we will come back to it. So this is the mind. All right. Now, it would be correct to say that this is the mind. Then you have emotions here. Okay, Brassens taught that, is it not?
Oh, yeah.
Good. So I'm on safe ground. Brassens told us what there are, like 96 openings, is it not? and you know, I'm only trying to simplify, because each one of these opens up. And if you look at the temple of Ezekiel, that's what you see.
Yes.
In Ezekiel, you see there are windows,
chambers.
I have counted and I'm tired. I sat down. I said, okay, now I'm going to count it. I lose, because there's so many. It just
Jesus.
Because exponentially. Because Ezekiel's temple is you.
That's right.
And it's me. You saw the spiritual temple he saw. That temple was never built. You understand? So it was only, it spoke of the heavenly temple. Yes. You know, and that is me. So your mind, it keeps going. So we can say that you have emotion here and desire. Now this is the mind. Then we have the will here. So this is the will. Oh, sorry. Not the will. Okay, here. And so, in other words, the heart is determined by the mind. What is the heart? The heart is the
center.
That's the heart. So the heart is the coming together of the various natures. And it is at the level of the mind. You understand? So it's a carnally minded person. Okay? So they that are after the heart, after the flesh, are minded in the flesh. Okay, that brings in Romans 8. So, yes. So they mind the things of the earth. Those who are spiritually minded, they do mind the things of the spirit. Okay, so, and everything is within. Now, what is the justification? We have already shown it, that from the mind, emotion. Now, as a medical person, it's very clear that there are chemicals in the brain, which is the body. All right, that do what? They control your mood. All right, if now I bring $1 million and give to sister, to my sister. Sister Toby, what? No. You see what has happened to her? She's excited. She has not even seen the body, but I've just told her. You understand? So there are chemicals that automatically are secreted that affect your mood.
Yes.
That's emotion. Mm-hmm. When you smell the plantain, as you are smelling, What's going on? Mm-hmm. You begin to plan. I'm going to eat. That's the appetite, isn't it? That's it. Now, when the emotion and the desire come together, they command the will. So, yeah, by 3 o'clock, I am going to eat. Yeah. That's it. Now, let's look at something more scriptural. Eve. What happened to Eve? She saw. Okay? So, saw. So, what does that mean? That is the sense of the eyes.
Right.
All right? So, she saw. She saw. That's the sight. That the fruit was good. That is emotion. So that's the feeling. And it was very, very good for people to have. Able to make one mind wise. That is the mind. Okay? And she now decided and took it. Okay? So you can see the desire, the emotions, and the will came into that operation, and she took her it and gave to her husband. And if you look at yourself, this is what happens to you, and this is what happens to me. All right, and the devil has perfected this for 6,000 years, and he is so sure there is no way you can beat him at it. And the reason why we are not beating it is like you go to the churches. If you teach a people faith, the only thing the people will know is faith. If you teach the people healing, the only thing they know is healing. If you teach the people rapture, the only thing they will know is what? Rapture. Right. Because Bible says faith comes by hearing. And hearing the teaching. So if we begin to dwell on this, we will overcome.
Hallelujah.
You will overcome. I will overcome. If we dwell on it. If we dwell on it, we will overcome. Because now you begin to know who you are, how you function. And the Bible says if you know yourself, then the Bible also says you know how to carry your vessels. What is that scripture in Thessalonians? How to comport your vessels in sanctification and holiness. Because you know how you function. You know your weak points. You know your frailties.
Yes.
You cover it. And that is what is shown by the liver. You know, the liver was carried by 12 oxen, 3 on each side. And their hinder part was inwards. You know, there was a covering. You could only see their face. You don't see the hinder part. It's covered. And Solomon was so much, in fact, what he did was that it wasn't just that you had what he called the molten sea. You didn't have just what he called the sea. The sea could hold 20 baths, say 40 baths of water. He had different washing places. So you didn't need to queue up to wash. You understand? So if you wanted to wash, there were so many places to wash. What is this saying? So that the in God is an ability to cleanse us.
Yes.
There is a capacity to clean us and to keep us clean. That's if you wanted to be clean, you can be clean. You know. So I think what God is doing is to create in me and create in you a capacity,
yes,
a desire, and a propensity to be cleansed. All right. So so we are still looking at this. So we have the different openings, sight, feeling. Hearing, and then 1, 2,
taste,
and then we have a feeling, and smell, as well as you know there, this is smell. Okay, so this is, and it's all coming together at the level of the mind. Now, so the mind, let's go to the mind. So the mind has two realms. There is what they call the this one is, let's take the next page. So this is the mind, we're still looking at the mind. So the mind has what they call the mental capacity. Or they will use a word called faculty. Faculty is taken from an old Latin word, facultas, capacity, ability. Facultas is an old Latin word that means capacity. Yeah. That if you come to the faculty of medicine, all the lecturers who have ability to understand medicine are all grouped together in that faculty. So that is the capacity that university has. And there are some professors in medicine who are world class, is it not? So when they are there, that means there is a lot of capacity in that department to handle research and so on. All right? So faculty means capacity, capability, depth, you know, ability to function in a particular area. All right? So the mind has capacities, abilities, you know, to function. So, and these abilities are both mental. Mental is just speaking about the spiritual aspect, and then the physical capacity. Okay. Now, the capacity of the mind is addressed. If you look at, I always wonder about the book of Proverbs. I'm still praying and seeking about it, but there's a lot of depth because I know there's a connection. The scripture says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Alright? And then he says, I, wisdom, I stand at the opening of the city. Okay? At the crossing of the paths. So what is he talking of? What is he? He's addressing the mind. Alright? Now, the church will have, the devil has encouraged us, we have spent so much time and energy outside prosperity, buying this, flying there. When the real issue we have not addressed. So God is redirecting us.
Amen.
Amen. So now, what is the ability? The first ability of the mind is knowledge. Now, knowledge means perception. To perceive something, that means to perceive something. You have perception. To be aware. And then to know. Okay. And when you talk about knowledge is in different dimensions. There is physical knowledge. There is spiritual knowledge. There is intimate knowledge. The Jews will say knowledge in the sense of a man and a woman having intimate relationship. They say Adam knew his wife and brought forth a son. Okay. So it's speaking of intimacy. Alright. Now, this knowledge is both physical and spiritual. So, within my mind is the capacity to know the things around me in the natural world. But it doesn't stop there. You see, within me is also a capacity to know the things of the Spirit. Now, look at Romans chapter 1. It says that the things that may be known of God are clearly revealed by the things around us. That when they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. Rather, became vain in their imagination. And their mind became darkened.
Reprobate.
Okay, so what is he saying? So he's saying, I can know God. I can perceive God. I can be aware of God.
Jesus.
Just like I know the physical world, I can. But why can't I know? Because the mind has been darkened. The devil, the God of this world has what? Blinded the mind of them who do not believe. In other words, if you believe, your mind will not be blinded. Because you see, it always works both ways. So if I believe, if I come to God, they say this is life eternal, that they might know thee. So how do you know? That is the new covenant. Say, I will put my law in the inward part, and the word they shall, you don't need to say to your brother, know the Lord, because they shall all know me.
Yes, hallelujah.
That's the new covenant. And in fact, we don't even have time to go to those words. But the two words used, ginosko and eido, they are speaking of two different things. You know, one is seeing, one is intimacy. But you see, you cannot be intimate with what you don't see. So the second one has to do with seeing. And there are five different levels of seeing. One of those words, you know, scope. When you say have a scope, you know what is scope? Telescope. It's taken from a Greek word that means scopio. That means to see something from, you know, a global perspective. Okay? So you see, you can have a global perspective of God, of the things that God is showing you. There's another one that's from the word of theory. It comes from a Greek word, theorem. It means to look at something with in such an interesting manner that you want to observe it so that you can describe it. That's where you make theory. What's the theory? Everything that goes up must come down. It is from it's from observation, scientific observation. Okay? And then at the end you summarize it and you come up with a theory. All right. Good. Logismos is say it's true, but you say logismos is the next one. Now you are leading us. Now the second one is understanding. That's from that Greek word logismos. Logismos means thinking. That is thought process. Now, what you have received into you, you have to think about it. You have to, you know, that is the thinking, meditation,
reasoning.
Ooh, reasoning. That's where reasoning comes in.
Good and bad.
Ah, okay. Well, that's the next level. Okay, since you are there, let's finish. Now, what you are aware of, God grants you understanding.
Yeah.
Now, understanding, it goes with the word intellect. Intelligence. Intelligence comes from two words, inter and leger. Inter means between. Leger means to read. So you are reading in between the lines. In other words, you're able to differentiate A from B. To say A looks black, B looks green, C looks red. So you're able to understand. So you're intelligent. You can understand different aspects of the same thing. Different levels, different applications and so on. So that is that's the level of the reasoning. Now, the third level is the conscience.
Yes.
Okay? This is where... This is judgment, determination, and a position. So, what you have received, what you have reasoned after, what do you do? The soul takes a position. This is good. This is bad. So if it is good, I accept it. If it is bad, I reject it. Yeah, the devil has destroyed this capacity. So when you see good, what do you say? It is evil. You see evil, you say it is good. So coming to God's presence is very dull. That is it. Many of us will feel the things of God, there is no excitement. I'd rather go and have a ball game. I'd rather go on the internet. I'd rather go and do so and so. Alright? It's because the conscience has been seared. The conscience has been darkened. So, the Bible called it evil conscience. Alright? So, now this is really the major part, because this is where, this is the seat of judgment. Okay, this is where the soul says this is right, or this is where I say God is good, I am going to give myself to God. God is not good, I'm not very sure, I still want to hold on and be convinced that God can protect me, God can provide for me, God can take care of me, that if I follow God, it is the best way to go. That is where it is.
Isn't that where Satan wants to sit?
He not that wants to sit.
Well, sits on the sides of the north.
That is right. That's where he is already.
Yeah.
So it's not that he wants to. It's where he is. He has... What?
Be where he is in everybody's house.
This is where the devil is. It's where he is. And, you know, say he as God sins in the temple of God.
Yeah.
And this is the beginning. When he says repentance from dead works, this is what he's saying. Because this is where... Now, I would, you know, the reason why this is important is the next one. Now, the next one is the wisdom. This is wisdom. Now, this wisdom is the application of the soul, of the emotions, of the will, of the desires. Okay? In a direction to be able to bring forth actions that accept what is good, or to bring forth actions to say this is evil. That is wisdom. And the foundation of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is reverence. The reverence of God. The worship of God. And it says that wisdom is what? To depart from... Read it. There's a scripture you have.
No, I was...
Okay, let somebody read for us.
Job 28:28.
And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding.
That's right. So it's very clear. You must depart from evil. See, thou hast loved righteousness, and thou hast hated wickedness. So if I fear the Lord, then I'm going to depart from evil. Alright? And that means in departing from evil, there are actions, activities in my emotion, in my will, in my desires, okay, that will move me further away from evil and closer to God. Alright? And those are the aspects of wisdom. So wisdom has to do with, they say wit. Somebody is witty. The Bible talks about the simple. Say the simple man with, say he's very witty. It means there's another word, prudent. Okay. Now this and the other one is tact. Tact, T-A-C-T.
Tactful.
Okay, so now these are ability to carry yourself in a manner to overcome evil and give yourself to good. Now, so let's look at the scriptures. Say, the simple man seeth the evil. What does he do?
He hideth not himself.
But the wise man or the prudent man, what does he do? He sees the evil afar off. What does he do?
He
hides himself. The reason why I fall into temptation is simple. I am simple. Simple means the opposite of wisdom.
Silly.
Uh-huh. That's where you have the word silly. Alright? I'm foolish. Alright? And I see, in fact, I don't even see the evil. I walk right on. But the wise man sees it and hides himself. All right? And that is what the soul does not have. The soul lacks wisdom. It cannot have wisdom because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the soul is born in sin, in iniquity. The soul is in rebellion. The rebellion of Adam. Isn't also? There's no way. You know, so the wisdom of God comes with the entrance of Christ. All right, because say, I am wisdom. I have made unto you wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and so on. So when Christ comes in, there is that seed is born and begins to walk in. But you see, it has to grow. Because it is in an environment of foolishness, of darkness, and so on. Now, that brings us to, I'm happy we're able to land there. That brings us to where we are. Now, the soul is a dark place. There's no wisdom. There's no knowledge. There's no understanding. There is no fear of the Lord. Nothing is there. All right? So, it has to be introduced into you, and it has to be introduced into me. Okay, and that's where we see 1 Corinthians, Isaiah 11. Can somebody read Isaiah 11 for us? Isaiah 11. Yes, just read for next 5 verses or so.
There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord,
amen.
And shall make him to quick
to be quick
understanding and the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes,
amen.
Neither reprove after the hearing of his ears,
amen.
But with righteousness,
yes.
Shall he judge the poor, and reprove the equity of the
With equity, yes.
And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And the righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, faithfulness the girdle of his reins.
Amen.
The wolf also shall dwell with him.
No, good. Read. It's not
also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf. And the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them.
Amen.
The cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the winged child shall put his hand on the cockatrice end. Then they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain,
okay.
For the earth shall be filled the knowledge of the Lord
as the waters cover the sea.
Praise be to God.
What is the earth? The earth there is the soul. All this wolf, lion, bear, what are they? These are the natures of the soul.
That's right.
Those are the natures of the soul. Right now, they are in warfare. There is turmoil. You know, the beast, the emotion is like a wild beast. My emotions are wild. All right, there are excess in getting offended, in doing this and all that. Okay, my desires are completely out of it. I desire God 1 minute, the next minute I desire evil. Okay, so this is that there. But God says that there's a. Do you know the healing that there shall be a stem out of, and upon him shall be the 7 spirits. Where do you find those 7 spirits? That's the lampstand. That is the lampstand in the tabernacle. So, where do you find the lampstand? In the tabernacle, there are 7 lamps of fire burning. When you come into the tabernacle, it's dark. That is the soul. It is the illumination of the Spirit. Alright? So that lamp, you see, if you look at it in Exodus, you see it. In go to Zechariah, you see it. 7 lamps of fire burn, is it not so? And you even call it 7 eyes of the Spirit.
Yeah.
You go to Revelation, you say there are 7 lamps of Bawa, which are the seven spirits of the Lord.
Amen.
So there is an inner light. We have allowed, the devil has run ahead of us through Amok, through Christian Science, through Ekanka, through the Transcendental Meditation, through New Age, through Yoga,
Scientology.
They have run ahead. And because of it, we have turned back and said, no, it's not God. Who told you it's not God? This belongs to us. There is an inner light you must have. There is an inner lighting I must have. There is an inner illumination. See, the unto the righteous, what happens to him? There ariseth light in darkness. And it says, unto the righteous is the light that shines what? Brighter and brighter until the day dawn. And the darkness goes away and the day star. If the day star arises, it will never set.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The day star is about to rise, brethren.
Amen.
And will not set. What more scripture will give you? It says the spirit of man is what?
Is the candle of the Lord.
Eh? Giving light why? To the emotions, to the desire, to the will, to the mind.
That's right.
The lion and the bear, they need light.
Yes, sir.
They need energy. When they see God, it said that all the earth will begin to clap their hands. They will worship God. No more war. Do you understand? So, there is an inner energy that must come. The oil. So, if you look at the lampstand is there, one piece of metal beaten into seven heads. And inside it is what? Wick. What is the wick? The wick is your spirit, is your soul, and your body also. Is your humanity. And the humanity of man must be burnt up, must be lighted by God to begin to burn. Alright? So the spirit, the light comes from the spirit. That's why you are baptized from the spirit. The soul must also be baptized. See, you must have oil in the vessel so it can burn. And that light in the soul, immediately the soul receives the light of God, the body is gone. This body, you can either go with this, go in the flesh or in the spirit. So the body is a dual machine. You watch these films, you see them, they're flying. What do you think the devil is doing? He's running ahead.
Yeah,
how did Philip go where he was going to?
Teleportation by the Spirit of God.
Bible says, know you not that your body. It didn't say so. Yeah, your body is what? Is the temple. The body was made for the Lord and not for fornication. Do you understand? So the body was made for the Lord and the Lord for the body.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So this body is for the Lord. It's a spiritual body.
Amen.
And that's why even when you burn it up, you scatter it all over the world at the day of resurrection. Do you understand the power? It comes together. So it's a spiritual body. It's a spiritual body. And demons live in the body. Demons live in your body and my body. And they are sucking blood. They are breaking down the genes. That's why you have mental illness. Genetic problem. Demons are breaking that. Do you know what they're looking for? They're looking for life.
Mm-hmm.
They're breaking down the body. Broken. That's why the diseases, they're breaking it down and introducing all kinds of things. And there are people that are introducing poisons in the food. You know what we are now fighting with. So the satanists, they have taken over the food industry.
Yeah, the GMO.
The GMOs.
What's
genetically modified. Yes. So they're fighting you physically, they're fighting you spiritually, they're fighting you emotionally, destroying the body. As they break open the body, what are they looking for? They're looking for life. Their life. Because the body is for the Lord.
Right.
And the Lord for the body.
Right.
So one of the areas, that's why one of the areas to address is our dressing. We must clean up our dressing.
Oh, shit.
Women's clothes for women. Men's clothes for men. I mean, you must start from the basics. Even the little children. Don't say that little children. If you dress them up as men, when they're small, when they become teenagers, they say, "Mommy, you better have been wearing it all that long. Why are you coming to tell me now to stop wearing it? You already have a problem." So let the little girls dress like little girls. Let them be feminine. And let the men be men. Don't, you know, like you see ponytail. I saw one boy, you know, one man. I didn't even want to tell that this one is homosexual. See, a grown-up man, ponytail, wearing shorts.
Yeah.
Walking like a girl. And then he tells you, "I was born homosexual." Nowhere. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. You know? So, brethren, the level of what God is saying is that the soul must be nourished by the river of God. And he says, out of the belly of those that believe will do what will flow, rivers. I say this speaking of the spirit.
Amen.
The energy the soul needs is the energy of the spirit.
Amen.
Say there was a river that flowed in Eden, isn't it also? And it broke into four heads. What is that river? He said the Lord God planted the river, planted the garden eastward. That means that there is a garden in the east. Where is the east? Is the mind of God. That is the mind we are speaking of. The mind was made to be nourished by the Spirit of God. Now we are going to prove that. Now, if you go to, let's go to this place. That's 1 Corinthians 2. Can somebody read for us? 1 Corinthians 2. Read from verse 8.
None of the princes of this world knew.
Or no, start from verse 6.
Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. For God hath revealed unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
No, sorry, read it again. Let's try from from 9. Just read from 9. A bit more slowly, and then let's go.
As it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
But
God has revealed
them
unto us by his Spirit.
Okay, stop there. So what is he revealing? The things that have not entered into the ears, the things that have not entered into the eyes, the things that have not entered into the heart, those things are revealed. Now, they taught us that those things are about the heaven, you know, your house on Chesame.
Your house
on your golden house on the... on Deerfoot. Okay, where is your house? Not Deerfoot.
Northwest
Deerfoot. You know? So there are houses in heaven that you haven't seen it. It's not true. He said, those things that the ear has not heard. That is what we're looking at. The eye has not seen. Is it not so? That they are revealed by the Spirit. So there's a revelation.
There's a scripture I want to read.
Yes.
Because the glory of the Lord is coming from the east.
Now you're talking.
And you said the east
is the mind. That's right.
You're the mind of God.
Good.
Ezekiel.
Okay, very good. Go, read it. God bless you.
Look at from verse 1.
Read.
Afterward, he brought me to the gate.
That's right.
And behold, the glory of the God of Israel.
That's right.
Came from the west
of the east.
Read that.
And his voice was like a noise of many waters, mm-hmm. and the air shined with his glory.
Read that.
Oh, wow. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Cheba, and I fell upon my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east.
Yes.
So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house.
Amen.
Okay. And you could go on our bed. He says that this gate shall be closed.
Mm. Only the prince.
Yes, only the prince.
Oh, yes.
That shall enter it through it.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So we're talking about the mind. The mind is the east gate. And there is a garden planted.
Yeah.
There is a place of nourishment. A garden is a place of fellowship.
Yeah.
It's a place of life. It's a place of strength. A place of comfort. A place of pleasure. Alright? You walk all your life so you can go to the garden in Banham. I think we're going there tomorrow. Do you understand? So that's the mind. And he says the land flow with milk and honey. There's a place. And it's in the spirit. And that revelation comes from the mind. Now, we have still not landed. Now, let's, brother, read on. So, no, the First Corinthians too, because there's something that I want to bring out. You're on verse 9.
Uh-huh. Verse 9. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit.
Yeah.
For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God.
Good. Verse 11.
Man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him.
Yes.
Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God.
Okay, hold on there. So he's saying the things of God, these things that our ears have not heard, our eyes have not seen, we have not perceived, those are the things of God. Knowing God, we're talking about knowing God. I come into this world, I don't know God. My emotions are not excited at God. My desires are not excited at God. I don't desire God. I don't long after God. Alright? Now, Bible says that those things, the Spirit of God knows them. Just like the things that pertain to you, your own spirit knows. Alright? So, he's looking at these two comparisons. Go on.
Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That we may know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Good. So, the things that have been given to us, it is the will of God that we might know them. Alright? And we know them by the Spirit. The Spirit, right, so that the Spirit shall be in you. You see, you have an unction in you. What which teaches us all things. So it is the Spirit of truth. He shall take up the things of mine and do what? Reveal it to you. Show them. He said he shall speak not of himself, but shall speak of me. Alright. So this spirit is there as a teacher or to bring revelation. And this school is an eternal school.
Yes.
It's an eternal school.
Yeah.
Then he said, that's right. He said, one thing have I desired.
Mm.
And that would I seek after.
Mm.
To dwell in the temple of the Lord.
Amen.
And to inquire of his beauty.
Yes.
Can you imagine? She's studying mosquito. You don't know what you're studying, mosquito.
Yeah.
Okay, I read you're studying malaria genes. She has 4 years, she's still studying 2 or 3 genes. Are you hearing me? Three genes. She studies 3 genes. Hallelujah. So there is no way this is going to be dull.
Yeah.
There's no way this is going to be boring.
Verse 16.
Hallelujah.
Who hath known the mind of the Lord instruct him?
Amen.
We have the mind of Christ.
That's right, brother.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Okay, but brother Jim, let's go back. Let's back off a bit. I want to prove it beyond all doubt. The thing about the mind. Okay, so read verse 13. That's the key.
Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth.
Yes.
Comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Good. So what is the key thing there?
The Holy Ghost.
No, that's not the key thing.
The key thing is that there's dialogue and comparison in our
mind. Well, that's true, but that's not the key thing. As the key, that's the Holy Ghost teaches.
Not with words, with man's wisdom.
Not even the wisdom. Words.
Words.
Words. We speak. Speak. There is a speech center in the mind. It's a speech center in the mind. And the Holy Ghost speaks. When you speak, you do not understand with your emotion. When God speaks, you do not understand with your desires or with your will. What do you understand with? Is the mind. The mind is the connection. The Holy Ghost speaks to the mind. In other words, the closest part of your soul to the spirit is what? The mind.
Right. So the word says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus.
And there's something else he says.
Being in the form of
Yes. But he says that the words that I speak to you,
yes,
what are they?
And they are life.
They are spirit. The word of God is spirit. That's a link between the soul and the realm of the spirit. Words. That's the point. That's where I'm going to. The link between your soul to the spirit of God is what? Words. And Paul put it a different way. He says that the word of God, which is what? The sword
of the spirit.
It's an instrument that links the soul to the spirit. So if the soul is going to be saved, there's only one major instrument of saving the soul is what? The word of God. So it says the word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul.
But also the dividing
asunder. It says that the word of God is quick and powerful, and that it descends the thoughts and the intents. That's what we're looking at. And he's able to divide, to bring judgment, okay, to the soul spirit. In other words, the words you're hearing is able to bring life to the soul and to, it's even to the joints and the marrows. So this word is spiritual. It descends what is going on in the soul and descends what's going on in the body, and is able to minister both to the spirit, to the soul, and to the body.
Yes, amen.
The word is powerful.
Yes.
It's quick and powerful. It says it's sharper. Okay. So the key is the word. And that is the shewbread. Okay? So it says, thy word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light. And a light to my path. So the word of God brings light into the soul. The spirit of God brings light into the soul. And that is a lampstand. And the table of shewbread. So, when people rise up and they begin to say, tabernacle did this, tabernacle did that, you don't argue with them. It's very clear. They have not seen. And they are rejecting the very thing that will save the soul. So, God has fashioned the way of deliverance. And what is the way of His word? And He calls it the seven trumpet. He said that when the seventh trumpet begins to sound, we shall be changed. In the
twinkling of an eye.
In a moment. That word moment means in a time. And that is this season.
Amen.
All right? In the twinkling. What is the twinkling? That is the changing of the focus. Yeah. The mind. We're talking about the eyes.
Yeah.
That good. Good. So we must begin to change our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Our focus. In that twinkling, in that change, in the refocusing. If my minds are open up to the Lord, then the Lord will shine. Now, there's a scripture in Luke that says that the eye of the body, all right, is the eye. Isn't that so? The head of the body is the eye.
Yes.
So, the body has a light. The soul has a light too. Yeah. Now, it says, if the light that be in you is what?
Darkness.
Darkness is light. But light is, there's a true light and there is a false light. So if the light that be in you it be darkness, then how great is that darkness? But if the light that be in you is the true light, everywhere we feel with light. Okay? So there must be light in the soul. And it says, if your eyes are single, that means they are whole, then your body will be full of light. But if that light, if the eye is evil, then the whole body is filled with darkness. So it's clear to us what our eyes are. Our eyes are dark, are evil.
Yeah.
You see, the God of this world has blinded the eyes. Now, to press it further, you know, I was looking at it, and God began to show me. And that's why I brought the word about the head of Saul.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, Saul was captured by the Philistines. The scripture is very clear. It says that they took his body. They put it. But they took the head and fastened it to the wall of Ashtaroth. That's where the mind is. You understand? So the sexuality you're looking at, it is in the mind. And the thing was that when the men of Bethshemesh and his people came, they could not recover his head. They recovered his body. But the head was still left in the temple of Dagon. And do you know that the most holy place is a prison house? Anybody that enters the most holy place cannot come out. Don't you understand? That's how in the world the devil also has his own dungeon there too. Okay? So in Egypt, there was a dungeon in the house of Pharaoh. All the slaves were, the bad ones were inside there. They were not allowed to come out. Alright? So God is delivering us from the dungeons of the devil. Our minds have been taken captive. And now, if the devil takes the mind captive, what will he do to the mind? I can tell you. There's a man called Gideon. Not Gideon, Samson. What did they do to him?
Put out
both eyes. That's the senses. It's speaking of the mind. When Nebuchadnezzar came into the city, they took the king, Jehoahaz. You know what they did to him? See, they took him to Riblah. And they killed his son before his eyes.
Yes.
They didn't stop there. And they plucked out his two eyes.
Yes.
And they took him to Babylon, where he died.
Yeah.
He's speaking of you and me. The devil has put out the eyes. The devil has blinded the eyes. The mind. And he said, up to this day remained a veil on taking away in the reading of the law.
Amen.
So the devil he has locked up the mind with Ashtaroth. That's where the mind is at. So you come into the church, Ashtaroth is the ruling spirit.
Jesus.
And the Bible says you cannot, first of all, take away the goods
of
the strong man. Unless you do what? You must bind the strong man. When you bind the strong man, then you can deliver the mind. That's right. Plunder the mind means to deliver our minds. So God says, arise and begin to do battle against these spirits that are now taking over. You know. So the scriptures are very clear as to, you know, what we have to do, the warfare that we have to do. One of the things I've learned is that this, when you are coming against this spirit, you cannot do it as an individual.
No.
An individual cannot overcome culture.
The body.
You need strength. And it is something you do as a collective people. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that is the purpose of fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
The fellowship that is a fellowship. Mm-hmm. We all know where they're going to. That means you understand that God has brought you together to overcome, to strengthen one another. Now, what the devil does is that he turns the fellowship to a social club. You share, I share.
Yeah.
You cook today, tomorrow I cook. Then we'll go to your house today, tomorrow we'll go to another house. So this is because it's a social club.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no power. Alright, so that means there's a wandering together, no focus. There's no purpose. There's no driving force. Now, a few years ago, when God began to move us out of the Pentecost, that was the burden. We had a fire to break through. But the devil was so smart. Over the years, he has just rounded us up.
Mm-hmm.
And we have started going around. And right now, the end time church is a denomination with Pope, Bishop, Bishop elect, Archbishop, Deputy Bishop, Pastor, Chief Elder, Supervising Elder, Ministering Brethren, Primary Elder, Secondary Elder, Corporate Eldership, what's the wrong one? Peripheral Elders. Oh my God. That's what the devil has done. But nevertheless, the word of the Lord stand there sure.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, me, I'm excited because God is giving us one more opportunity.
Amen.
And we cannot miss it, brother.
Amen.
We cannot. You know, so right now, the vision is becoming clear. What he's saying and where we are to go. And so as many as see it must come together. And when we come together, it is to push. You know, so our focus is very clear. We are meeting to break down. The idols here must be broken down. So I strengthen you and you strengthen me, you know, to break down. You know, so so I find out that right now there is something new that God is doing. He's saying we must go back into the holy place. And as we're going there, we're going to break through. Now, the soul must be offered to Christ. But you see, there's no way you can offer a soul to Christ that has images that is defiled. You cannot. So that soul must be pure, must be clean. So it says the virgin must have oil in the vessel. Alright? Now, to be a virgin means that soul has not known any spirit. It's not in any intimate relationship with any spirit. That's a virgin. Naturally, a virgin means a man that has not known a man, because that's a new definition now, or a man that has not known a woman, alright, or a woman that has not known another woman, that means she is, in that dimension, pure and clean.
Yeah.
How about in the spirit? The soul must be a virgin. And you and I know we can't even discuss it, we can't even describe it, because we are not there. Alright? Because right now there are spirits that are having domination over us. And Jesus told the story. He said there was a young man. He ran and came to Jesus. And said he was what? Within him were dwelling a legion. That man was dwelling in the tombs. He was in prison. Alright? The tomb is a lifeless place. And you and I know we like lifeless places. Alright? Our relaxation is pleasure. That pleasure is not God. The things we love to do are not God. So we're in the tombs. We're in the lifeless places. We're in the wilderness. But the man, the thing was that he came to Jesus.
Amen.
And that's our hope. We are coming to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. He came to Jesus. And out of him, he cast out those spirits. Now, look at what happened. When he cast out those spirits, where did the spirits go?
Enter the swine.
Enter the swine. All right. The swine speaks of that same situation of the tendency to like that which is not clean, because the swine is an unclean animal. But look at the swine; it runs steep down the slope into the sea. So the sea that we talked about it yesterday, that is the lowest level of the soul, the sea of humanity. All right. So man always wants to go to the sea, to the lower parts, to the lifeless places. Instead of going being on the mountain, it will go right down to the sea. You know. And it also is very clear that within us, you know, within man is that situation. You know, yes. You know. So the soul must be offered to Christ pure. And that is the virgin. And that is the golden altar of incense. You know, so if you look at it, I'm trying to close now. If you look at this picture, that is the okay. So this is the golden altar. This is the lampstand. That is the table of shewbread. That is the laver. And then this is the altar of brass. That's the brass altar. As the brass laver. This is the lampstand. This is the table of shewbread. So these golden altars is the bride. The chaste bride that is going to offer to Christ. Now, on the Day of Atonement, the priest will carry this and cross. Will break through the veil. The veil, of course, you know, is seat of humanity. But in this veil is the cherubim. Now, the cherubims, there are two types of cherubim. The four-winged cherubim and the six-winged cherubim. All right. So the soul must acquire two extra wings, and that is experience of the lampstand and the experience of the table of shewbread. Those are the two extra wings.
Yes.
That the soul must acquire. Now, that is what enables the soul to break through the veil. The strength of the word and the strength of the spirit. They energize the soul. And the soul, so you see that, of course, there are two, the rods that carry the soul. So that speaks of the ability of the soul to break through the veil and to move forward in God. Now, when the soul enters the most holy place, the rods are removed. So there's no more movement. So this is the ark. So when the soul comes in to the holiest of all, no more movement. Mm-hmm. The staves are removed. So the staves are carried on the rings. So the ring is a prophetic word that says the soul has matured, has come to the place where it is ready to be married. So there you have the two rings, the two on this side, two on this right, and the carries the. So this altar is pure gold. There's no wood in it. It's pure gold. Sorry, it's wood, but covered with gold. Sorry. It's called, yes. So speaking of that humanity. And it is four square, one cubit each. Four square. So it's speaking of the soul that has been purified by the fire of God's judgment, God's dealings, and is able to go through. And that is what is offered. So because the soul has acquired the nature of the cherubim, the Bible says that God that dwelleth between the wings of the cherubim. So the nature of the soul has overcome darkness. So it has the likeness of God, so God is able to come and then to dwell. So that is the bride of Christ. So right now the church should be here. The end time church left here and went back. So God is calling us to come back to the labor. And in coming back, to come right back again and to begin to hear the seventh trumpet. That is the message of change for the soul. And then to come into the place of illumination of the soul by the Spirit. So the seven spirits of God starts coming. Spirit of wisdom, knowledge, counsel, might. And the purpose is to bring light to the soul so that the soul can begin to break forward, can move forward, to break through all the things. So the vision is very clear, what God is saying to us and what He requires of us. And it is going to cost a lot of things. The price is high. You know, that price may mean friendship. It may mean family. It may mean career. So many things are going to be involved. And my prayer is that God will strengthen us, you know, to count the cost.
Yes, amen.
Okay, and in counting the cost, to make the right step, to say we are willing,
right,
you know, to pay the price. And I think God has helped us in this weekend to look at the issues, to lay it down. So it remains for us to be able to break it down, to see how can we begin to walk in these things and how can we practice in it. And I think I'll end with the scripture in Malachi, and I say that they that love the Lord, okay, that they spoke often of these things, isn't it?
One to another.
And the book of remembrance shall be opened. So we need to speak more often about this in our fellowship, you know, in meetings like this. So I think it's been a blessing, you know, God has given to us to be able to come together. And I think we can safely say, let's do it again.
Yes.
Let's do it again. And let's do it more often. Amen. Amen. So that the vision will be clearer, there will be more strength, mm-hmm, and there will be more life. One of the things that God has shown us is that the Lord doesn't really save with numbers. Number is not really the thing. So it's not really, I don't think it's your goal that God is saying we must increase and feed the whole earth. With the increase comes contamination. You know, so let the Lord bring an increase in His own way, as such as pleaseth Him. He will add such as pleaseth. So I think your focus is not to increase in number, but rather to increase in strength.
Hallelujah.
Let there be increase in strength in the inward man, in understanding. I know, in standing up as a people to stand as a witness in this land. What God will do doesn't depend on so many people, but I think it's the quality. If the quality is right and you're able to, you know, gel together as a people, as brethren, you will have your challenges, but you must have a focus, you know. And when you have a focus, you'll be able to rise above the challenges, you know. You know, in people coming together, you know, God is teaching every one of us to learn, you know, to work together. And one of the things I've learned about, you know, the working together is that I had a problem initially because I thought I could work with everybody. Mm-hmm. And it is right, I can work with everybody. But look at your body. Look at this hand. The leg is not joined to the hand. But the leg works with the hand.
Yes.
You understand? That's the body. So God brings people close to you. And those are the people He wants you to work with.
Yeah.
So you see, yes, you know, so you might find you have different propensities, blah, you know. But you see, if God brought it together, then you see, as you begin to submit one to the other, you will see a blending together. And in that blending together, you see an effectiveness in the functioning. So when the hand moves, the leg moves. And the whole body moves.
Right.
Okay? Yes. But the hand and the leg are not in the same place. But God has made them to work together. So you see that in a locality, God brings a people together, and there are people He will associate you with. So He says, you must overcome in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the world. The first time we went to Gabon, I said to my brother, this is Port Harcourt. If you are coming from Gabon, the whole topography is just as though you are landing in Port Harcourt. Because you see, so God will take you to an area that is similar to your experience. That's what we have seen. What we've seen in all the places. When we went to Uganda, enter Kampala, I said, this is Lagos. The place is just like Lagos, noisy. You know, just as though you're in Lagos, you won't even know, you know, that you're in Lagos. That you're, but it's Kampala. You know, so you see, God works that way. He will begin to move you, bring you close to people who are like-minded, who see the same thing. Who, and so He's saying, this is where I want you to go, and this is where I want you to walk. And when we see that, we know we don't need to start diverted. We know this is where God wants you to be, and we can focus our attention, our investment. We can invest in it, and make sure that we're able to come together. And in that coming together, God begins to raise up a body, you know, unto Himself. You know, so I think we can rest it here.
Yeah.
For me, and maybe you might have, we still have an hour to go, I guess. Maybe the others who may have, others who have something to say, it's about 2:30 now. You know, but I think we can. For me, I can see that God has actually.
Can you take a few questions?
Oh yeah, why not? Yes.
Can I ask a question that was not with the message, but it, you know. You talked about the spirit of adoption.
Okay.
Okay. Because the soul is an alien. It needs to be adopted to become a quickening spirit.
That's right.
Okay? And that's the problem that we're having.
Yes.
Okay. Adoption, Brother DeSille taught that adoption was for the body because the soul is born again.
Okay.
But the body must be adopted.
Okay.
So how is the adoption connected to the soul?
Okay.
If it's born again, it can't be adopted. It can't be adopted and born. So if you're a firstborn, you're born. If you're adopted, you're adopted.
Yes.
So can you explain?
Yes, I find that in many, what I see is this. Okay. Brad says had a challenge. That the challenge he had was that the brethren were so low that he could not really, when he came to the spiritual dimension, he couldn't go into depth.
That's right.
To properly explain. So I find that in many times he summarized a lot of things. And in that summary, it was only those who were keen and sharp in the spirit who could see, who could understand what he was saying. Now, when you say adoption, he says that the spirit of adoption, we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, the key is in where we read 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That's where the key is. He says, what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of the man? What man knoweth the things of a spirit except the spirit of the man? In other words, what makes you a man is your spirit. The dog has soul, has mind, has emotion, has desires, has will. Alright? But the soul doesn't have a spirit from God. The soul doesn't have a spirit from God. Alright? So it's beast. So it's in that lower dimension. But man has the spirit from God. Alright? So what makes you a man is because you have a spirit from God. In the same dimension. The only thing that can make you a son of God is what? It's the spirit of God. You cannot be a son unless you have the spirit of God. So God must give us His spirit. So that's why it is the spirit of adoption. So that spirit comes to adopt your spirit, your soul, and your body. But what Brother says, he was saying, is that in that statement, what he's saying already, that the soul in being born again has begun the process of adoption. It's being adopted, but not fully adopted. Now, when the soul is fully adopted, the body will go with it. So, in that sense, the body becomes adopted. You know, so, because resurrection is in three levels. Spirit, soul, and body.
Yes.
Because the fall was soul and body. Right. In dying, you will continue to die. So the soul died. The soul lost contact to God. Was detached from the realm of the spirit. That's why the baptism of the Holy Ghost must reintroduce the soul into the realm of the spirit. Which is represented by the holy place. The holy place is that realm of the spirit. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that is the coming of the Holy Ghost into the soul, into the spirit, is meant to begin that work of adoption. That is, the spirit comes into your spirit, that he might bring your spirit into the realm of the operation of the Spirit of God. And in that baptism begins the work of adopting, that is, restoring the soul and eventually the body. So the Bible talks about the resurrection of Christ, that he will not leave my soul in hell or suffer my holy one to see corruption. Alright? So resurrection is both spirit, soul, and body. Because the fall was spirit, soul, and body. So the spirit of adoption works all through. So when someone is born again, that work of adoption begins. And say he has sent forth his spirit to cry, Abba, Father. And so you begin to recognize him as Father. You haven't known him as Father. So when the Spirit of Christ comes in, your eyes of understanding are opened. So you can see the kingdom. And you begin to respond to God. Say, this is my Father. I will now go back home. I have been wondering. Now I say, I will arise and go back to the Father. So, and the spirit of adoption begins. Say, no man can come to me except the Father draws him. So he begins to draw. So right now, that spirit is drawing us and pulling us closer and closer and closer. Mm-hmm. You know. So no, there's no way anybody can come to God except by the Spirit of God. So that is the spirit of adoption at work, you know, working to pull us. But that spirit will not always strive with man. Amen. So there's a time given. Mm-hmm. And we are running short of that time. You know, because at that time it must close. You know, so that is the end time. So at midnight, the Spirit of God is going to quicken and activate the sons of God. And that's where we're going. The world is going towards midnight. Darkness is coming on the earth. But at that same time, God is working quick to raise the sons of God. A time will come when the sons of God will cross the line. Just like men will cross the line of darkness. So we'll be going from darkness into light. Others will be going from darkness into greater darkness. Alright? So it is that coming forth of the sons of God that will deliver the earth.
Amen.
Okay, so as darkness is coming, we are arising in our soul. So you see, there are things you will want to do. I know Mike wants to do, but he can't do because he has not been activated. But a time is coming when we will be activated. Amen. Okay, and that day star will arise. Amen. So you will have different Christs all over the world, not just one, but you have many Christs with the same spirit, with the same magnitude of anointing. And it is that power that is going to bind the darkness.
Amen.
And bring the devil and put him in chains.
Praise God.
You know? So the devil knows that, and that's why he's working to contaminate what God is doing. And you, if you understand, this cannot be a mass production. There's no way this will be a mass production. It has to be a remnant.
Yeah.
There's no way everybody in the earth will have this understanding and will come into it. No way. So, it was only two people that entered the promised land.
No.
Only two.
Yes.
Look at the demographics. Two out of 600,000.
600,000 without
the men.
And the women.
600,000 of the age 19.
So look at the demographics. Okay. So if you are thinking like the whole world is going to understand this message, no way. It's going to be a remnant of people that are going to come to this understanding. You know. So it's like you spread the seed, but it's not everything that germinates you take. You pick. You are looking for the quality. So many are called, few are chosen, and fewer are fighting to be faithful to the standard of Christ.
Amen.
You know?
Said you're the cream of the crop.
That's right. So when we understand that, then we'll start comparing ourselves with other people or you know, they are doing this, I cannot do this. No, there's a standard. And that standard is the standard of Christ.
Amen.
You know, so, and Christ is ever amongst us. Now, what is happening is that in the realm of the spirit, the line is being removed. Because the devil is insisting before God that I must join the battle. So, spirits are being released. Wicked,
yes,
devilish spirits are being released. So also, God is also removing the boundary. So we see that our ability to reach out into the realm of the spirit and draw line is also coming. So God is bringing the armies in heaven and the armies. So that fellowship is coming closer because the devils are also manifesting on the earth. So a time is coming when all the people that you have known that are going to come, we will see them. And that is going to be the resurrection of the earth. So those are the dimensions of what God is saying that we have to go.
There's something, because as you are speaking, I'm just some words are just coming into my mind, and I just want to say it, because I walk around, and I don't want to go away with it. I just want to say that when we hear a word like this, there is a reason why that word is coming.
Mm-hmm.
God does not bring the people across the seas that we hear the word and we continue the way we are. And when you look at those of us who are here, it's like this is the fellowship that is here, you know what I mean?
Mm.
It is we that are here now.
Mm.
There is something God is saying, and the scripture that came to my mind as he kept speaking was, after hearing all these things, what manner of men ought we to be? This fellowship, for example, is a young fellowship. Our fellowship is a young fellowship, I will say so. And I know that God is saying something specifically, and I see it here. I don't know how you brethren are seeing it, because sometimes when the word comes, people see it in different ways. But I'll tell you what the Lord is saying. I see it here. There are many things you may aspire to. There are many beliefs you may have, ideas. But if your emotions, your desire, your will and your mind is not under the blood. That's good. Brother Paul gave a scripture that talks about the intents of the heart. He said that word of God searches intents. If we do not allow that word to search the intents of our heart, we are going to have problems. I can say this is because I know Brother Chijioke. I've known him for God knows how long I've known him. Almost 20 years thereabouts. And I've known Brother Dusil even earlier. Almost 30 years I've known him. And this word I've listened, different fellowships, I've gone to different fellowships, I've seen different things. I know what is happening in the body. Brethren, you have gone through some things before. A brother sent a mail to me, which I'm sure Brother Chijioke got, and all the elders must have got that mail. And it had to do with what is happening in the body. If anybody is going to die, Brother Sest said it, and I'm sure Brother Chijioke and everybody here will understand. Brother Sest said, if anybody is going to die, most men of God die right here. Thank you. Most men of God died here. This is where they died. And why did they die here? Because they did not offer up that soul. Brethren, as I'm talking, I'm not only talking to you, but it's coming in my heart. And I'm seeing myself, and I'm telling myself that no matter what it takes, even if God uses you to start anything, or you start whatever you start, or God uses you to perform a great miracle, Jesus performed so many miracles, and one of those that pulled his ear was the hand that healed.
Jesus.
One of
those that said, crucify him, crucify him. We are one of those that carried the leaf when he was entering the city. And they said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Brethren, if this word cannot touch you, I don't see what will touch you. Because I believe a word, God always says something ahead when he wants to do something. And this word that this brother is giving today, God is saying something and we have to make amends. Mm-hmm. Brethren, I want to tell you, and I'm saying it here. I was seated in the locker room in the office. And the Lord said to me, I must have said it to Brother Tayo, or maybe I said it to Brother Dennis, or everybody at the same time, at different times. The Lord said clearly to me, we were having issues in the fellowship then, and I want to believe that God has taken care of those issues. Brethren, I'm not the one to miss words, and I'm not the one to hide under the carpet. The intent of the heart. If there's something you don't like, go to the brother. I'm saying it again. God will not take it again. If it's on scripture, you may feel this way. He's doing this, he's doing that. He's too aggressive. He's okay. Paul said, I cannot even judge myself. You may sit in a position and say, I'm better than this person. I'm telling you now. The intent of the heart. You say, the days of ignorance. If Brother Chijok has not come, it's the day of ignorance. We assume. Because it's only Brother Mike telling us this thing. We have not seen any of that brother coming to tell us. It's only Brother Mike who talks about Brother Josiah and talks about this thing. Fine. But now something has happened today. The day of ignorance, God has overlooked. But now, he's asking everybody to sit up. If the Lord has brought a donkey to our midst, and the Lord says, follow this donkey to that point, we must obey. It has nothing to do with our flesh. I want to be like you, I want to rub shoulder with you, I want to prove something. It has nothing. And I'm telling you, because God has told us, as this brother Chidiok is speaking, the Lord is telling me, it is the last warning. And brethren, you are not going to see me in a place of controversy. If I give it to you, you don't like it, I leave it and I go. And I believe the Lord is telling you, brethren, the same thing. It is time for us now to go back to our closet and weep and cry. How many times have the Lord spoken to your heart? Go to this person. You have offended them. Say, brother, I've offended you. I'm sorry. And you have refused to do it. Everyone that puts up an air like everything is okay, I didn't wrong anybody. I have the same problem. And I was seated. I was sleeping. And the Lord said, take that computer. And I took up my computer. I opened the computer. What am I supposed to do, Lord? Check your mail. I checked my mail. I got a mail from Sia Nasi. I opened up the mail. What is there? They sent me a link. It says Brother George Campbell's ministry. I clicked on it. I now realized that this thing, I have clicked on it before. It did not open. I said, Lord, but this thing did not open. He said, click on it. I clicked on it. The thing opened. Brother Tom Campbell started talking. And what did he say? The Lord says, if you perceive that your brother has ought against you, go to them. I said, Lord, we have taught this issue many times. Yeah, we had an issue in the fellowship, things happened, and we have talked about this. The Lord, go to them. I came to you, Brother Tyler, and your family. I came to Brother Dennis and his family, and as I sat down here today, the Lord is still saying there must be complete death. No controversy. If someone says this is the way they want it, let them have it that way. If they say this is the way they want it, let them have it that way. The only thing you hold me is to speak the word as I've said it to you. So, brethren, I'm saying this now. As our brother has come, the Lord said, the days of ignorance I have overlooked. We all have dreams. We all have visions. We all understand the word. And we're a small fellowship. But I know that there is an order. Maybe before Brother Chijoke comes, if he has a chance, he will talk about it, the other brother. There is an order in this house. There is an order. It may look as if everybody is coming together and everything. There is an order. If that order is not properly understood and followed, then that is where there will be confusion. And if you do not understand the genesis of the confusion, you will think, oh, that confusion is stemming from this sister. That confusion is stemming from that brother. That confusion is stemming from here. But you do not understand it because we have not been able to see the other and follow the other. So, brethren, the same word I'm giving to you, die to yourself. Let the self die. Don't justify yourself. Don't approve yourself before men. Don't do anything to show that you too, you are able to do what this person can do, because that is what he's telling me. Brother Jim and I were discussing today, and I was telling him that the Lord might be moving me out to Edmonton. Let's assume that the Lord moves me out to Edmonton tomorrow or the day after. If you don't die to self, and you think maybe Brother Mike is a problem, or this, you will continue to have those same problems until you embrace the other. So, brethren, I'm telling you, please, and I know why I had to stand up to say it here, so that everybody, they will know how to pray for the Calgary Fellowship. It should not be like, everything is fine, everybody came out to meet us, everybody is great. Yes, we are great. I have no issue with my brethren anymore, I believe. Because I've gone to them, we have talked, we have eaten as families in the past. And I don't think there should be any problem. But brethren, pray for the fellowship. Remember the brethren, pray for us. If the Lord is moving us to other levels too, we are learning a great deal. The Lord does not prepare people for 30 years, 20 years, only for you to now get to a point you forget everything you have learned. I don't want to be like that. I have sat under ministries where I don't think any other person will ever have the chance to sit under that ministry. And everything they have given to me are the things I'm giving to you. So if there's anything, brethren, that the Lord is saying to us now, it is death to self. Look inwards. Look inwards. Don't think it is happening because of this. Because the moment you begin to continue that way, there are brethren who are looking, who are not part of this body, but they are looking, and the Spirit is in them, and there are things they can see, even though they do not talk about it. The days of ignorance the Lord has overlooked. But now, the Lord is asking us, this is a new season. Praise the Lord. Sorry, brethren. I need to go and pick my children. They'll be at home very soon. Yeah. But I'll come back.
Let us pray quickly for you. Father, we come to you. We ask you, Lord, to search our hearts, to search me, O God, and know my heart. We know that you are calling for a people in this hour that will lay down all, that will become bread to feed the hungry, that will be poured out like wine upon that altar of sacrifice. So Lord, we are asking now that the word that we have received these few days, that Lord, it would be hidden in the very secret chambers of our soul.